Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. Now, can you give us your correspondent feedback and comments by email us at utahchristianist@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website, utahchristianist.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Today I'd like to talk to you about the circle of protection that Krishna, our God, draws around those who put Him first place in their life. If you're right in the center of what God wants done in this world, if you're allowing yourself to be His instrument, then you don't have to go through life fearful about all the what-ifs might happen. Today there's just too many so-called people of faith, so-called religious people, who are living in fear rather than living in faith. But if you're lined up with God's purposes in this world, you don't have to worry about any terrorist attack. You don't have to worry about any drive-by shooting. You don't have to worry about any kind of disease. You don't have to worry about the cities getting less and less safe. Worry about gang violence. We need to be confident in who it is that's got our back and not go through life with temerity and in fear instead of in faith. Krishna declares in the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, Kauntya Pratijanehi Name Bhakti Pranasati. He tells Arjuna, he says, Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. He wants us not to go dragging around with our head down, you know, jumping out of our skin at every loud, sharp noise, every time a muffler backfires, boom, you know, you have to scrape us off the wall. Now he says, be bold. Put your shoulders back, look people in the eye, talk confidently, walk confidently, dress confidently, think confidently that God has drawn an impenetrable circle of protection around me, that nobody's going to get through without God's sanction and God's permission. Nobody's going to break this impenetrable barrier, this impenetrable circle. As long as we do our best, we just have to do one simple little thing in our life, which is entirely within our power, and that is to honor Krishna. And the books that we read, the videos that we watch, the conversations that we have, the food that we eat, God doesn't just want to be on the edge of our consciousness. He doesn't want to just be a resident of our heart, but He wants to be the president of our heart. And if we turn our life over to Him as our life manager, we're not going to be the losers, but we're going to be the gainers by millions and millions of times over. Would everyone agree that He does a pretty good job of creating, maintaining the various universes, of causing the sun to rise and the sun to set and the seasons to change? He's a good manager, and He's ready to give you advice, to give you direction, and at the same time to offer His infallible protection. All we have to do is honor Him in the choices that we make. If we do that, we don't have to worry about any terrorist, any gangbanger, any drive-by shooter, any sort of a disease. He's described in Sanskrit as Mahabahu, many-armed. That means that if He wants to protect you, He's got many, many arms. He's fully present within each and every atom. Not a blade of grass moves, not a sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge. So if He wants to protect you with His many arms, nobody can penetrate. On the other hand, if you want to set yourself outside of His circle of protection, if you want to surround yourself with stuff, it's said that if you love stuff, you use people. If you love people, you just use stuff. So if you're one of those love stuff, use people type persons, then when God comes with His many arms, you can't hold your possessions with your two arms. He will strip you of everything. So those who are honoring God in their life need fear no evil, need fear no accident, need fear no crime. Because He's right at their side, shielding them from every evil. When you leave, when you return, both now and in the future. Some of you are living way too worried. You're worried about safety, you're worried about your loved ones, you're worried about accidents, you're worried about health, but there's no reason to go through life being afraid, going around worried about what might happen. Most of the things that we worry about, the things themselves are not going to do as much damage as the worry. Whatever it is that you're worried about, it's not going to shorten your life as much as the worry itself. Whatever it is that you're worried about, it's not going to damage your finances as much as the state of being worried itself. Whatever you're worried about, it's not going to shorten your life any more than the worry itself. So worry serves no purpose whatsoever. It's simply tying ourselves up in knots over things that will never happen. Of course, you can look at it the other way. I saw a joke one time of a patient lying out on a psychiatrist's couch, and the psychiatrist was trying to convince him to stop worrying. And he was saying defensively, "Well, I don't know. It seems to work for me. 95% of the things I worry about don't happen." And then I think it was Lord Snowden who said, "Some of your hurts you have cured. Some of your hurts you have cured. Some of the sharpest you still have survived. But what torments of grief you endured from evils that never arrived." Listen, if you're an instrument and you're implementing God's purposes in this world, if it's not your time to go, if He's got things yet for you to do, there isn't any power, any sickness, any terrorist, no drunk driver has the power to make you go. God controls the whole universe. We're very much absorbed right now in the upcoming festivals of colors, but the technical name of it is the Holy Festival of Colors. And it derives its name from a witch of ancient times whose name was Holika. There was a brother-sister combination, what you might call an axis of evil. And they each had benedictions. The brother was named Hiranyakashipu, and the sister was named Holika. And Holika, from the Lord of the Universe, Lord Brahma, she had extracted a boon that she couldn't be harmed by fire. So instead of using that for good, going into burning buildings and saving lives, she used it to burn babies. Yeah, she would take little babies, she would walk into the fire. Put your hands over Kirti's ears. We don't want her to hear this. And she would come out, and the babies would have been immolated. And she did this over and over and over again. So one day, her brother, Hiranyakashipu, approached her, and he said, "I've got this 5-year-old kid. He's a staunch devotee of Krishna. It's driving me nuts. I cannot reform him. I cannot talk him out of it. All he does all the time is talk about Krishna. He reads books about Krishna. He sings music about Krishna. And he chants constantly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari." So the father actually asked his sister to kill his son, who was her nephew, by walking into the fire with him. So with the 5-year-old Prahlad in her arms, Holika approaches the fire, and she's destroyed many babies based on this benediction from the Lord of the Universe, Brahma. And this particular baby is chanting the names of He who creates millions and millions of universes, millions and millions of Brahmas. So when the benediction of Brahma was confronted with the benediction, the protection of Krishna, the benediction of Brahma collapsed. And on this particular occasion, Holika was burned and Prahlad walked out unscathed. So part of the festival is to have a bonfire and put in this evil-looking effigy of a witch and burn her during the festivities. So, and then also after that, then Hiranyakashipu, being even more incensed at the death of his own sister, he tried to kill his own son, and he got bifurcated. The Lord appeared in an incredibly dramatic way. That deity is that brass deity on the front of the altar there, the half man, half lion. He is called Narasimha, half man, half lion. He appeared in order to bifurcate the evil-minded Hiranyakashipu. And after Hiranyakashipu had died, Nrisimhadeva asked Prahlad, "You've been such a staunch devotee. You've been so faithful. You've been so unruffled in spite of all these attempts to torture and kill you. Please ask me for some benediction." And Prahlad said, "I don't have anything to ask you for myself, because when I chant your holy names, Mahamrita Magnachita, I submerge in an unlimited ocean of ecstasy and peace and happiness. So for myself, I have nothing lacking in it. But do you think, I know that my father, because of his nefarious activities, would normally not get liberated. He would go to hell for hundreds, if not thousands, of births. But do you think it might be possible that in some future birth, he might possibly qualify for liberation?" And the Lord Nrisimhadeva laughed and he said, "Don't you know, Prahlad, that because you're in my circle of protection, that on your behalf, because he is your kith and kin, he's already liberated. Not only that, but 10 generations in the future and 10 generations in the past of one who's firmly in the circle of protection automatically achieve liberation. So not only do you achieve safety and protection by being firmly under the shelter of the Lord, but those over whom you pray, those for whom you are concerned, they also, though they don't personally merit, but on your behalf, the Lord will bring them home. So if you're in the circle of protection and you pray for a wayward teenager to make better choices, you've planted seeds, which maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day, but ultimately that will turn the life of that teenager around. If you pray for a friend to get out of a financial crisis, that prayer will be taken into consideration by the Lord. If you pray for an aunt to recover and for her health to be restored after a long-standing disease, those prayers will be heard and they'll be responded to by the Lord. Someone says, well, true, I don't see all this protection. I know that you got this mythological story about a half man, half lion appearing and all like that, but I don't see all this supernatural protection in my life. But the point is that you have to live in faith rather than living in fear. You can't wait before the Lord appears to save you from a drunk driver and a half man, half lion incarnation before you start to believe. There's no exercise of faith there. You need to have faith in advance that though it may not be obvious, though you may not see it, the Lord is protecting those who keep Him first place. And when you express your faith and you thank Him in advance, then you perceive His presence that you would not otherwise perceive. Thank Krishna for what you can see and for what you can't see. Thank Him for the obvious and the not so obvious. We just don't see all the ways in which God has protected us. All the times He's kept us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That day that everything seemed to go wrong, and you're leaving for work 10 minutes later than your normal time, and you think you're just plagued by bad luck on that particular day. Little did you know that if you'd left for work on that time, you wouldn't have made it. You would have gotten in a horrible traffic accident. So that's the not so obvious. Thank Him that you didn't get hit by a car. Thank Him that you're not sick. Thank Him that you've got eyes. Thank Him that you've got legs. Thank Him that you've got breath. That you get to see the sun rise over the Wasatch Mountains another day. Protection means direction as well. Declare thanks to the Lord daily for all that has not happened. About a year ago, there were two devotees in Russia rushing to catch a plane, and they got traffic jam in Moscow. They thought, our bad luck, we paid all that money, we missed the plane, I don't know what we're going to do. That plane went down and everybody on the plane perished. So the Lord will use even a traffic jam to protect His devotees. I read about a soldier during World War II, during the battle in the Pacific. He was on an island. He got separated from his battalion. He was hiding in a network of caves, and the Japanese knew he was in there somewhere. So they were systematically going from cave to cave looking for him. And he was praying, God, send a regiment to my rescue. Send the cavalry. Send an airplane. Send a plane with the 50 caliber machine guns. And while he was praying for something dramatic, he noticed a little spider weaving its web. Just barely noticed it on the periphery of his consciousness. And he was kind of on one level saying, Lord, I need something more than a spider. Thank you very much. But the interesting thing, when the Japanese got to his cave and they started to penetrate with cock rifles and the pins out of their grenades, they noticed this spider web across the mouth of the cave. And they said, well, there can't be anyone in this cave because otherwise the spider web would have been destroyed. And so they skipped that cave and they went to the next cave. The Lord can use traffic jams. He can use spider webs. He's in the heart of every living being. Sarvasyachaham ridhi shanivishto madash mitir gyanam apovanam cha. Krishna knows what's in the heart of your enemies. He knows what they're going to do before they know. If your enemies are going to look for you and they've decided to go left, Krishna tells you to go right. If your enemies have decided to go right, Krishna tells you to go left. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Karna, the arch enemy of the pious Arjuna, had obtained an infallible javelin from Indra, the king of heaven. Whoever this javelin was thrown at, it would go right there and it would kill him without any doubt. So Karna was looking for Arjuna everywhere, all over the battlefield. He was going here and there with a javelin cocked, and as soon as he would get even the slightest glimpse of Arjuna, he would launch that javelin and Arjuna would, without a doubt, be killed. But for 3 days, he couldn't even catch a glimpse of Arjuna. Do you know why? Because Krishna, the creator of the universe, who is also the Lord within the heart of every living being, was driving the chariot of Arjuna. And Krishna knew where Karna was intending to go. Krishna knew each step that Karna was taking to search for Arjuna. And then Krishna would take care to drive Arjuna's chariot to a different part of the battlefield. If Karna was going to determine, I'm going to go here, and Krishna Arjuna, then Krishna would drive Arjuna's chariot there. And it wasn't until Karna had been forced to launch the javelin at Ghatotkacha, and then was at a disadvantage later on down, pulling his chariot well out of the mud, did Krishna finally cause Arjuna to appear when he had the full advantage. Krishna protected his devotee. Similarly, don't worry about accidents or drive-by shootings or diseases. If it's not time for you to go, you're not going to go. If there's things yet for you to do, nothing can take you out. I read about a lady in Los Angeles, 114 years old. They asked her to what she attributed her long life. She said, "God's not finished with me yet." It's possible to get out of Krishna's circle of protection. It's possible. I heard a joke about a so-called religious person that was driving down the freeway, 20 miles over the speed limit. The passenger said, "Don't you think you better slow down?" He said, "Don't worry, the angel of the Lord is in the car along with us." The passenger said, "No, no, the angel of the Lord got out at 65. As a parent, some of you are a parent, you pray for your children. Maybe those children are making bad choices. Maybe they don't deserve God's mercy. Maybe they don't deserve God's goodness. But because of your goodness and because of your prayers, God will protect them. So let's always give people the benefit of the doubt. When we look at them, let's not say how far they yet have to go, but let's calculate how far they've come so far. Let's pray that everybody reach their full potential, that everybody become great women and men of God. He's inviting us into a secret place. He's inviting us into His shelter, into His shadow. And all we have to do is take into consideration His best direction for our life. Incorporate a few small lifestyle changes in order to bring the Lord of the unlimited universe into our life, have Him show up and show out in major ways. How much trouble is it really to sit down, especially if we're purportedly religious people, and for a few minutes a day, chant the names of God, such as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Someone says, "Well, I'm too busy. I've got too many more things to do." Okay, fine. You've got things to do that are more important than having the unlimited Lord who breathed millions of universes into being to show up and show out in your life. Okay, good luck with that. That's fine. That's the decision you want to make. Another thing He asks us to do is don't kill, don't pay anyone to kill, don't participate in killing, don't reward people that do the killing or sell the meat. He says, "Thou shalt not kill." Hiram Smith, the brother of Joseph Smith, he said, "Eat meat sparingly only in times of excessive cold and famine." He says, "Otherwise we need not eat meat at all. But when there's no other food to eat, there's too much cold, there's nothing to eat." He says the animals would die anyway, so under those circumstances, to save our lives, we may take their flesh. But in my lifetime, 66 years, there's never been a famine, there's never been excessive cold. I've never walked in the supermarket where there weren't plenty of grains and fruits and vegetables and yogurt. So I have not had to resort to that last measure, that last extreme of eating meat. Because the situation that warrants it has not come by. So someone may say, "Well, these are too troublesome for me to do." But what's troublesome is to go through life outside of the circle of protection of God. What's troublesome is to be on your own in this world. with sickness, with birth, with death, disease, old age, hurricanes, earthquakes, disasters, drive-by shootings, then you are on your own. Then it's you and them. Good luck. May the best man win. Survival of the fittest. Is it really too much to eliminate flesh from our diet and to chant the names of the Lord? Is that too great a price to pay? God's not trying to get us away from something, but He's poised to get into our life and take us places we could never, ever imagine. He gets involved in your life, put on your seat, put on your hard hat, put on your seat belt, and get ready, because it's going to be an incredible ride. He's inviting us, if we'll just let Him manage certain aspects of our lives, He's inviting us to be partners with Him in His work in this world. Chiru, if God is so good, if God is so powerful, you know, why did He have to put Prahlad in the fire in the first place? Why couldn't He have delivered Prahlad from the fire? God never promised that we wouldn't have adversity, we wouldn't have challenges, we wouldn't have enemies. But He did promise that if we stay in faith, He'll get us through those challenges. We have some good friends who run the Star of India restaurant in Salt Lake City, Avtar and Rakesh Singh. And they don't open their restaurant on Sundays till noon or so. So oftentimes they load up their minivan with all kinds of cooked food for our Sunday feast. And one Sunday, a couple years ago, they arrived on Sunday morning. They had sweet rice, they had chana, they had puris, they had all this cooked trays. We didn't have to cook that day at all. And they also had cases of oranges and apples and cauliflowers. And they just unloaded the van. You know, hundreds of dollars worth of goods, really, out of the goodness of their heart. And we ate some of it together. We chanted Hare Krishna. And then they went off in their empty van to Salt Lake City to open the restaurant. He called me a couple days later. He said, "True, on the way back, we were behind a car that had some cargo up on the roof rack that came loose. And it came and it smashed our car, totaled our car." He said, "How could that happen? We just came to the temple, we delivered prasadam, we chanted, we took prasadam. How could Krishna..." I said, "Avatar, did anyone in your family get hurt?" He said, "No, we walked away without a scratch." I said, "There you go. God doesn't promise to prevent the accident, but He promises to protect you during the accident. Just be grateful that not a hair on the head of any of your family members was harmed, even though your van is totally, totally, I guess, raised for it." Folks, you have a protector. You're not going through life alone. You don't have to resort to hoping it all works out or believing that it's going to turn around. The Lord has put a hedge around you which cannot be penetrated without His permission. And the more you brag, the more that the Lord is protector, the more that the Lord is my shield, the more that you brag about the Lord, the thicker that circle of protection becomes. We need not feel panic. We can feel secure. Even if there's 1,000 enemies in front of us, 1,000 enemies to the back, 1,000 to the left, 1,000 to the right, we may be totally surrounded. There's bombs going off. It doesn't look good. It looks hopeless. Don't be afraid. Carry yourself with confidence. Krishna's got you covered. Nothing can happen as long as He's got His kavacha, as long as He's got His shield up around. Think, even in the darkest times, the Lord is my refuge, my tower, my shield, my deliverer. When things go against you, say, "I've got a hedge of protection that the enemy cannot cross." When you talk like that and think like that and dress like that and carry yourself like that, there's no room for fear within your heart. And when the angels hear your declarations of praise and faith, they will hearken and they will come at the sound of your voice. God can use a traffic jam to protect you. He can use a spider to protect you. On one occasion during the seventh year of Krishna's manifested pastimes on this planet, 5,000 years ago, the Lord of Heaven, who I mentioned before, heaven is not the spiritual world, it's just a higher place within this material world. And Indra, who's riding on his elephant in the upper right-hand corner of that picture, is in charge of rainfall. So he thought he would show his power and he would destroy the village in which Krishna appeared. He invoked a cloud bank, which is called Samvartika. And this cloud front is normally held in reserve and only invoked at the devastation of the universe. The only time the Samvartika cloud is normally invoked is when it's time for cosmic annihilation. So you might have called it overkill, but Indra wanted to make sure. So the rain started coming down in sheets. The temperatures got to freezing cold. The water was rising by the minute. All the inhabitants were in danger of being drowned by this maelstrom. So Krishna did a very interesting thing. He went under the hill, the Govardhan hill. He put his hand under the hill. He ripped the hill up from its roots and held it on the little finger of his left hand as an umbrella, as a circle of protection. And he invited all the cows and all the parents and all the boys to come underneath that circle of protection. And for 7 days, while all around, outside of that circle, it looked like, that's all she wrote, folks. It looked like this is the end of the universe. This is cosmic destruction. And yet, inside that pocket of protection which Krishna had created, everything was warm, everything was dry, there was plenty of good food to eat, and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they sang songs and they danced for 7 days until the storm blew itself out and Indra came and apologized to Krishna for his presumptions. One last point. God loves us so much that He's created each and every one of us to be indestructible. In the Bhagavad Gita it says that you cannot be cut by a sword, nenam chindanti sastani. You cannot be burned by fire, nenam dadati pavaka. Nachedam avyantioto. You cannot be drowned by water, you cannot be withered by the wind. What are you talking about, Shrew? I can be burned by fire. I can be drowned by water. We read in the newspaper about people perishing of these things all the time. No, you can't be. Your body can't be burned and drowned and withered and cut. But you, the inhabitant of the body, the imperishable soul, part and parcel of God, who is Himself eternal and indestructible, He's made us out of Him, not out of matter. He has made us indestructible. So we all have to face that moment when death comes. Even we do the will of the Lord, we can't live forever in these bodies. But we can have confidence, we can approach even the moment of our death with thanksgiving, with joy, with rejoicing, knowing that it is only this body which is dropping. The soul, the self, is indestructible. It is not slain when the body is slain. And God has constituted us in that way because He loves us. He's connected with us. We're His parts and parcels. And we may have to come back, even after leaving this body. We may have to reincarnate because we're slow learners. We're a little dull sometimes. There's lessons that we didn't learn in this lifetime that we might actually have to come back again and repeat them so that we finally get it right. But the parent doesn't kill the child by way of discipline. The parent may slap the child's wrist, but the parent will never kill the child, you see? So God has made us that we can never, ever, ever die. We may lose this body. We may have to come back again in another body to learn lessons that we were a little slow to pick up on now. But this is all for our good. It's all for our benefit. It's all the arrangement of a loving Father to get us to a higher level. I heard about a fire a decade or so ago in Yellowstone. It ravaged thousands, if not tens of thousands of acres. And when the forest rangers were rummaging through the debris and the smoldering embers and the smoke, they came upon a bird who had been petrified by the flames. She was frozen in a certain pose, which looked very artistic, very graceful. And they wondered, this bird could have easily flown above the smoke and the flames, saved itself. Why did it allow itself to be caught by the flames? And as they were musing in this way, from underneath the wings of that bird came three or four little chicklets. She had sacrificed her life using her wings as insulation so that they wouldn't be burned by the fire. This was her maternal instinct. So God has created us. He has that same protective, maternal, paternal instinct. He's called the super soul. There may be dangers all around you, explosions, enemies. Don't be afraid. Go to that secret place which is achieved by those who follow the instructions of the Lord. Get up every morning and say, Lord, thank you for me, for being my guardian against all evil. If you'll do this, He'll be present to protect you coming and going. He'll protect you now. He'll protect you in the future. He'll protect you forever. And every one of you will fulfill your God-given destiny in peace and safety. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.